Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Hi, I'm Sean Penn, and I listen to The Phil Hendry Show, Celebrity Voice Impersonated.
You don't believe you're being insensitive in any sort of way?
No, sir. I'm saying Paul McCartney married. I think pity and absolute
A girl can't.
I think a mercy marriage is a great place to start.
Well, I went out with a girl with a prosthetic leg, and she's just lovely.
You are kidding.
No.
Are you still going out with her?
No, not anymore.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, okay. Yeah, see?
I happened to move.
He moved.
Well.
What is your problem? Were you dropped on your head as a child or something?
I see. So, was her name Eileen?
I'm sorry. Wow, you.
Wow, isn't that funny? Isn't that funny?
You're displaying just total. Have you no morals at all? Any sensitivity?
Let me ask you a question.
Wait, what?
Are you missing an eye?
No.
Because I don't know if you were handicapped too, or.
No, I'm not handicapped
at
all.
No, he's not handicapped. I think what Jeff is trying to say is...
She was a lovely girl.
She was a nice girl, and you went out with her, and...
But he stopped going out with her. There's a reason why you stopped going out with her, is you couldn't afford the furniture polish.
My God.
What a funny man you are.
Listen to this guy.
I'm not trying to be funny.
You've been making nothing but wooden leg cracks.
I'm a jackass.
Yeah. Listen to yourself.
She must have had a great rack.
I'm serious. Besides the point?
I'm serious. Does she have a good-looking face? Anything.
Does it have to go there?
But is it really that?
All right, what is that?
That's the sound of a woodpecker. It's the worst thing that a one-legged...
What's this guy's problem? Are you for real?
Yes, I'm for real. They asked me to come on the show because I met Paul McCartney, why he's marrying a one-legged woman. And, now see, if I were her, I'd be running right now.
I think you give the entire male gender a horrible name.
You're
going to make the entire female gender turn into a whole bunch of lesbians.
Jeff, let me tell you something. Come on into my steakhouse. Listen, can you hear that? Listen to that. There's a woodpecker right out my window. Come on into my steakhouse.
Oh, bug off.
You don't believe you're being insensitive?
Oh. There it is. That is from our Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2003 CD, World Famous. If you want that and other classic material, how do you beat that? And for $20, you get 130 minutes of great material from the last year. That was great, especially when he said, was her name Eileen? You can't beat that. And then the sound of a woodpecker. Do they have wooden legs anymore? No, they have plastic legs. They're prosthetic legs. I don't know why it is, but just one-legged jokes are funny to me. And it started, I was in a place in Big Bear Lake, California, and I was shooting pool. It was a place called Chad's Place. And some of you from up in the Big Bear Lake, Arrowhead area may know Chad's Place, and it's a favorite haunt of our motorcycle enthusiasts in this state. And I was shooting pool, and I heard a couple of motorcycle enthusiasts talking at the bar, and one of them said, well, I got to go over to the VA tomorrow. I got to get a leg, my prosthetic, and they can't help me, you know. And I heard the other biker say, I'll go with you. I'll get you a leg. I'll get you a leg. And I peed myself. I had to excuse myself. I laughed in the face of two Hell's Angels and then ran. 1-800-449-8686 is our number here on the Phil Hendry Show. So get that world famous CD. You can do worse. Believe me, you can do worse. This is 130 minutes of some of the most classic material in the history of radio. Why do I say that? Because it was on our show. That's why I say it. We have got characters like Ted Bell. We have Martha, what's her face? Jay Santos. Who's Martha? Margaret Gray, I should say. We have, me and R.C. Collins and all of the guys are there, Lloyd Bonafide, Larry Grover, David Hall, all talking their disgusting talk. Oh, and let's not forget, of course, our very favorite lady, Bobby Dooley, with her disgusting and unacceptable life. It's all there on our CD called World Famous, The Best of the Phil Hendry Show, 2002. Now, how do you get it? And you can get it in time for Christmas. What's the shipping date on our CD? The number is 877-616-7445. What's the shipping date on our CD? Don't talk to me. Write it down, please, okay? Because nobody else can hear you when you talk. 877-616-7445 is the number to call, or you can go to our website, philhendryshow.com, And you know what I'm talking about? How long does it take for the CD to get there? We started shipping on December the 9th. So if you haven't got, if you ordered a CD on December 9th and you haven't gotten it yet, then I would be, if I were you, I would call and complain. I'd call me and complain. Not that I can do anything about it, because I'm really not there at the place where they ship the stuff. You can get it delivered first-class mail, 4 days, or next-day special delivery, whichever you'd like. That is the answer to my question. Go to our website, philhenryshow.com, and get world famous. 1-800-449-8686. It's raining here in California. I hope the weather where you are is nice. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas around here. Actually, it doesn't rain in California at Christmas time. It's generally very sunny. It starts raining in January, February, March. This is the time of year, January, February, March, when your house is sliding down the hill. One of the nice things about December is, and the fall in California, is you can still walk. You can still hike the beautiful countryside. You can still hike the beautiful Malibu Canyon, for instance, behind me here, off to my right and just behind me. You can still hike the Angeles National Forest. It's still very fall-like. For instance, my producer, Janice Ngaro, who lives up in the Bonsall Canyon portion of Malibu, was out walking her dog this morning when she saw a very familiar sight in California, and that was a white bus from an ashram. And people got out of the bus wearing white robes with ochre-colored headbands, and they were shaking prayer beads, and they were hiking up the trail to do their morning ablutions and yogic exercises. And naturally, when you're up in the woods, you squat and take a crap, which is exactly what these people did in full sight of my producer as she was trying to enjoy her moaning, too. They squatted, crapped, and urinated, and then got back on their bus and left. Who are you people? Call me. I want to report you. Why do I have to see that, or anybody associated with me or friends with me, while we're out walking our dogs? Use an outhouse. Let me tell you something. I don't care if you're eating grape nut flakes, if you're pushing pure rainwater through your system. I don't care if you've been eating only broccoli and rainwater for the last 30 years. When humans take a dump, it's poison to the environment. Poison! It kills every living thing it touches. It's not like cow fertilizer. Cow fertilizer's good. Flowers grow. Grass grows. It's wonderful. Go down there, get yourself a bag of that Bandini. Bandini is the name for fertilizer. But when humans do it, everything it touches dies. Dies slowly and dies painfully. Why do you think you get stomach cramps? Your stomach can't stand having it in there. Just get out of me. So I can't believe that Janice is walking out there with her dog this morning, having that, and a bus pulls up, and it probably says something like Paramahansa Yogananda's Yoga Hut. And they all bug out, go up into the woods, and start, exercising and flexing and doing whatever the hell they do. And then, oh, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom. Really? Yeah. And then one of them just lifts up their ochre religious robes with the prayer beads and just squeezes one out on the pathway? You know what? I think it's a great idea. And I'd like it to start at Dodger Stadium. Next time we need to answer the call of nature at Dodger Stadium, well, we'll just go up there in the concourse and let it rip. How about this? What if some guy was, you know how you got to curb your dog? What if you got to curb your husband? You know, in other words, on your front lawn, there's some guy squatting one morning. Or you're watching a ball game and out in center field is whoever's playing center field for the Dodgers these days. And he decides, well, I gotta go, so, you know, long drive. Well, he's squatting right now, Ed, so they'll call that one back. Jerry Rice goes out for a deep pass. Time out. I didn't make this up. It's happening. It's happening here in California and all over America. I don't think it's just some California gag. Everybody in America is doing it. They're all just like, we're so tired and we're so stressed out, we can't even make it to the bathroom anymore. We can't even get to the men's room or the ladies. We're just going wherever. And, you know, the barriers are falling. My wife says to me now, it used to be, remember when we were the guys, we would suggest, honey, why don't you use the men's room? You don't want to stand in that line. Well, I don't know. Come on. Use the men's room. I'll stand. I'll guard the door. Well, if you think it's okay. Yes, I think it's fine. Just go. Now it's stand guard at the door. I'm using the men's room. She's just in now. She doesn't even ask. What if there's somebody in there? Well, you know, I'm using the stall. Oh, okay. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, and tomorrow's webcast day. You can turn on your computer, you can log on to our webcast, You can see us doing our show prep. And today was kind of a struggle, wasn't it? Well, it's a struggle every day. Every day we prep this show, I sit there and I look at Janice and I go, what in the name of God are we going to talk about today? There's nothing going on. Nothing. And then a guy flies a plane into a building and our problems are solved. All right, so tomorrow's webcast day. That starts at 1 o'clock. It goes all the way to 7 or until we get so tired of it we just decide to leave early. $6.95 for the backstage pass. You'll see me, Janice, Chris, Craig. I'll get everybody in there to stick their kissers in front of the camera so you can get a good look at them. And believe me, these are faces you'll never forget. And then maybe Dr. Laura will come in again. Maybe we'll just drag whoever's around. Do we got any big stars, big names coming in? Any big shots, huh? How about all these guys used to come in to watch the show? Where's that guy from Sugar Ray, huh? Where's our man Gary Shandling? Where's that Greg Kinnear? Come on. Come on in. Stand in front of that camera. Any celebrities want to come in, we'll pay you a couple of bucks. Stick your face in front of it and tell you to get out. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind. Show
1-800-449-8686. Dr. Jim Sadler joins us on the program today here on the Phil Henry Show, and it's always fascinating, Dr. Sadler, when you're talking about Santa Claus. How do you talk to children about it? What do you say to them about it?
Well, I think you tell them the truth. You tell them that he's a wonderful man. He means well. He wants to do great things.
But when the children get older, my kids now are getting old enough where they obviously are questioning his existence, and I have to tell them.
You have to tell them what?
Tell them what I'm asking you.
Uh-huh.
I'm asking you, how do I tell them there is no Santa Claus?
Well, I got to tell you, I don't know where you're coming from, because there certainly is a Santa Claus. I don't like people looking at me like that.
Okay. We're having some fun today, huh?
What?
No, in all seriousness, what I'm saying is...
No, I'm being serious. I'm being serious. What are you saying?
What are you saying? You're saying there is a Santa Claus?
Yes.
Really?
Again, don't patronize me or look at me like I'm crazy. Because I get that look. When I lecture... And I go from university to university. I have a lot of people who want to listen to me. And the students are very interested. What are you saying?
What do you mean, what am I saying? I'm asking, you were billed to my producer as someone who can explain the legacy of Santa Claus and how to talk to children about him. So I'm asking you, how do I tell my kids he doesn't exist?
And I'm telling you he does exist. And I'm insulted. And I am, frankly, put out that you would have me on your program.
Oh, get out of here.
What are you doing?
Get out of here.
Get your hands up. Put your hands up. I'll sue you.
Get out.
I'll sue you for putting your hands on me.
What do you mean Santa Claus exists? Okay, Janice, nice job. Nice booking job. God!
I was paid to talk about Santa Claus, and I will.
You really believe he exists?
You really believe he doesn't exist? You put your hands on me, that is grounds for legal action.
All right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're right, you're sorry.
I'm sorry, Doctor. I'm sorry.
Well, that is a hell of a thing to put your hands on a man because you don't agree with him.
You believe Santa Claus... I can't... If you believe Santa Claus exists, I have to believe you're psychotic.
I'm what?
Psychotic, if you honestly believe that Santa Claus exists.
Oh, boy. You really want it, don't you? Okay. All right, if you want a lawsuit.
Look, I don't want to be sued.
You put your hands on me and Santa won't bring you a present because you've been bad. That's the bottom line.
Is that right?
That's right. And I'm going to sue you.
Let's get back to Santa's not going to bring me a present.
Look, let me explain.
Why don't you sit down at the microphone?
You're going to put your hands on me again?
I won't lay a hand on you. Sit down at the microphone.
I talk about Santa and you grab me. Look at this. This is a Hugo Boss.
It's very nice.
Mr. Henry, you're the one...
Just sit down.
You're the one exhibiting psychotic behavior. You have an anger issue.
You're right about that, Doctor. You're right about that.
Because you disagree with a man who believes in Santa Claus, you put your hands on me. You put your hands on me.
I'm sorry. I do apologize.
That is an inability to control your anger. And I'm appalled, and I'm shocked.
I don't know. You know what? I'm having a bad week, and I just feel like on all fronts, just things are... just.
What's wrong?
I'm just having a bad week, that's all.
Well, tell me about it.
This is really turning the tables, isn't it?
Oh, it's all right. It's all right. My background's in clinical psychology. What's so funny? What are you laughing about?
Your background is in clinical psychology, and you believe in Santa Claus.
That is correct, Mr. Henry. And more people live, there'd be less violence in the world.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. I just feel like nothing's going right lately.
Something problem at home, perhaps?
My wife and I have had words, yes.
Children?
Perhaps.
Well, Phil, I can't help you. You know, this is a season to love your fellow man, and I love you.
You don't have to say that.
No, but I do.
I'd rather you not say that.
But I do love you.
Don't say that you love me.
You think it's gay?
Well, yeah, I do. It feels weird. Don't say you love me.
You do have an anger issue.
I have an anger issue. I got it.
Here's my prescription. Believe in Santa Claus and call me. Why are you looking like that?
Because I am so sorry that my producer ever booked you. Nothing against you. I'm just sorry that I ever met you because...
Well, that's very nice.
No, it's nothing against you. I just, you know, that cornball that you're spewing, man, it's going to make me violent again.
Well, I think you have a problem and you should talk to someone about it.
Great. I will. Jesus. This has been our Christmas special.
Sleigh bells ring. You gonna plug the book? Are
you listening? Buy Dr. Sadler's book. You can get it at Barnes and freaking Nobles.
Listening. You keep this up, you'll get nothing but coal.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Would you do me a favor?
What?
Would you get out before I hit you again?
What an asshole.
That's right. That's me.
Real asshole.
That's me. He's singing a song as we go along.
Real asshole.
You got it, babe. You know how to spell it, I hope, huh? In the meadow, we can build a snowman
and pretend that he's a Santa Claus. What's this, the theme of the asshole show? Lots of
fun. Yeah, that's it. Winter Wonderland is the theme of the asshole show. Other kitties knock him
down. Well, you're right, it's the Phil Asshole Show. Ain't it thrilling?
We'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Asshole Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda. I listen to The Phil Henry Show, celebrity voice impersonated. So I don't know if you guys are going out of town for Christmas, but we've got this tradition now. This will be the third year. It's a tradition, and tradition is fun because it means it's something you look forward to every year. You do it. So I don't know how we got into this. I guess it was like 2-3 years ago. I was on a website, and my wife said, let's go to Solvang. And for you guys that don't know, Solvang is a town that we were led to believe was founded by Scandinavian immigrants, some 100 years ago. Well, in point of fact, it wasn't founded by anything more Scandinavian than some guy named Jones who had a Chamber of Commerce problem. He wanted to get business into Solvang, so he said, I don't know, why don't we do some of that Dutch baloney? What do you think? What do you mean? Oh, you know, the windmills and all of that crap. We got a couple of blondes. They can make donuts. Let's do it. Come on, go, go, go. Get it going. Go, go. That's what it was. Man, I don't know how the hell we're going to get anything done. Oh, shut up. I got the whole... What? Well, we're bringing that the Dutch boy bit. What's that? Ain't you seen those billboards, the little Dutch boy? Who are they? I don't know who they are, and I don't know what they are. But apparently they got windmills and a dike, and they wear shoes made of wood. Oh, that's good. Well, only country I know, they got wooden shoes. So we'll do a whole theme, and the nuts will come from miles around, and they'll come up here, and they'll get the donuts. And what you do is you go in, they got... Oh, my God, bakeries everywhere. Apple fritters and bakeries and the real cream. Now, a real cream puff is basically, a real cream puff is about, oh, say, a thimbleful of actual puff and about a wheelbarrow full of cream. And when you eat it, if your head isn't completely covered in cream, if they can't recognize you because you look like that jack-in-the-box ass, then you haven't had a real cream puff. So, to get back to the story, naturally we go up to a Scandinavian place to stay where? You guessed it, at a dude ranch. I don't know how that happened, but it's a great place. It's up there in Solvang. It's called Alisal. Now, the kids dig it because they have horses, and they have fishing, and they have golf, and they have a petting zoo, and they have hiking, and it's really gorgeous. And every room's got a fireplace in it, and they have this fantastic restaurant, and it's real old school, real 1940-50-esque. Nothing really gussied up about it, but the food's dynamite. They got real working cowboys there. And here's the thing. Every year the kids say, you gotta go horseback riding, you can't get down the fence. Look, come on. I don't want to go horseback. Come on. All right, I'll go horseback riding. We're going to take the horse, and I sure do hope I get Sugarloaf this time. They know the horses' names. The one I had was some old gray horse that crapped a lot and farted a lot along the trail. That's all I remember about this horse. And he didn't do anything that I wanted him to do. Because I ride horses. My wife, who grew up around a working ranch, her mother, her grandmother and grandfather had a ranch in New Mexico. And Maria would go out there in the summer as a kid. So she, all of her life, was around horses. And she's afraid of them. She had one take off on her. I think it rode her all the way into Texas before it turned around and came back. Well, I'm not afraid of them, but they don't do anything I want them to do. There's two kinds of people. People that are afraid of horses and people that horses have no respect for at all. I'm the latter. Horses don't respect me at all. They laugh as I come into the barn area. Oh, Jesus. What? This is the same guy from last year. This is the guy. See him there? The fat, bald guy? Oh, yeah. Is that the guy that was on you? That's the idiot. Oh, man. Wait till I take off on this guy. So I come walking in. The horses, suddenly the barn is hot with gossip and rumor. Here comes the fat bald guy. And then I get up, and then they got these cowboys. Tell Trigger to buck him. Pass it on. Tell Trigger. So they have these real working cow, because it's a working ranch. But I guess the cowboys or the wranglers are told, will you go work with the tourists one day a week or whatever? Naturally, the guy I get is about 60. He's about 5'8" or 5'9", one of those real stocky cowboy-type dudes with the Rocky Shahane mustache, sort of the Sam Elliott mustache. His face looks like he's stuck it right in front of a Chrysler wind tunnel for like 5 weeks. He's got windburn and sunburn, and the hair is slightly graying. He's got knuckles that look like somebody took a crowbar to them once upon a time, way back when, in the parking lot of Gillies for some unmentionable offense. He has bowls, that whole bull-legged cowboy. This guy is authentic, and here's Henry, the dude from the city. Hi. Yeah, whatever. All right, this here's Peppermint. Get on up there, sir. Okay. Yeah, just swing that. All right. No, God, gee, D it. Get your one. Get the left. I'm telling you, the guy's like this. He's talking this way. Get the left leg in there. Swing your ass up. There you go. Get on up into the set. All right, now look. This is called a rein. This here is the horn. Hold on to the horn and the rein. You want the horse to stop, you pull back on the rein. You want the horse to go, very gently kick him in his side. Now, you don't have to kick him. No, no, G-D, you to the living hell. Don't kick him that hard. That's right. Now, and so he's walking away. I'm going, now what happens if he, oh, to hell with you. Who cares? You know, the guy's just like ignoring you. And a horse doesn't do anything. You know, I've been riding horses off and on my whole life. They don't know what the hell. I pull back, they keep going. I kick, they stop. You know, one time I had a horse start galloping on me, and I tried to rein that sumbitch back, and he just kept right on going. He didn't care, and I thought I was on my way to at least a broken arm, because we were on uneven ground, and this horse didn't feel too steady on his feet. But these old cowboys, right? And I'm thinking, this is really kind of cool to see these old guys working, but what a drag, you know? I mean, it ain't like they're out on a cattle drive. They've got me, the talk show host, and his family from L.A., and I'm going to swing my big fat ass up on one of his horses, and I'm just going to ride it around. But what the hell? I guess it's a living, huh? And then they have the lady there in the petting zoo, and she's got the very severe haircut. You know what I'm talking about, kind of that semi-female processed pompadour. Yeah, that's right. And she has just the two earrings, so, she doesn't give herself away entirely. And she has the baggy jeans and the boots, and she's sweeping up with the horn-rimmed glasses. My daughter found a cat that she just loved, this little cat. And I said, Catherine says this to me. She says the following things, which is what a kid will say.
Can I ask the lady if we can have the cat?
Well, honey, I can ask her. Okay, because when you're a kid, you're used to people giving you crap when you ask for it because you're cute. The older you get and the uglier you get, the more they say, it's going to cost. And when the first time somebody says, it'll cost, that's when you know your face has changed, pimples have broken out, something's happened. So I went over to the old lady and I said, excuse me, ma'am, can you, would you give us the cat? Oh, darling, I wouldn't give away Smokey. No, sirree, no, no. Smokey's been with me for 6 years. I'm married to Smokey. Anyway, we'll be going up there this weekend. It's our Dude Ranch story. Dig it? You know, City Slickers? I didn't do that whole thing because we're with the kids, but you don't need to. Just go up and ride around out in the countryside, and the people will look at you like you're a joke. It's cool. And the cows. I walked through a whole city of cows once up the hill in Hana, Hawaii. Have you ever been alone with hundreds and hundreds of cows in all directions walking through a cow pasture? You're like on another planet. You honestly are like on another planet because they look at you, they look at each other, they communicate with each other. There isn't a human being within hundreds of miles, it seems. It's just you and these aliens with four legs, and you're having to step around their dumps, and you're in trouble. Oh, by the way, one more thing. I learned how to ride a horse. You sit up slightly in the saddle. You don't sit back down in it so that you can have a hole in your ass rubbed raw, as I found out in Mexico. Now, Craig Taylor, on the other hand, the only time he's surrounded by cows is when he's picking mushrooms, see? So at least he's doing something. I'm taking a walk through them. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
You'll forgive me, Chris. I forget that you are a very devout Christian. What with your fangs and your Lucifer haircut and that goatee and your painted nails and your tats and the fact that you showed up on Halloween dressed up in like horns and a tail and you're a real devout Christian. Anyway, I wanted to say, now you're a good guy, Chris. You're just You had to shave that hair and cut that beard, and you're a handsome sumbitch. Notice how that comes very easily to me, sumbitch, since I've been on the Dude Ranch? All right, R.C. Collins was on the show yesterday. R.C., of course, goes to Bradley Military Academy. He is a junior cadet at Bradley Military Academy, and he believes that Trent Lott should do the right thing. As a military cadet, they learn to do Code 9, which is to simulate suicide with a cap gun, and he believes that Trent Lott should not simulate suicide. He should do it.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
That is the craziest thing I have ever heard of.
Well, that's the way we do it in the military.
Well, you know, I may be wrong here, but the man should resign. Yes, I agree with you there.
Yes, sir.
But he should not kill himself. I mean, if I'm captured, and I'm a soldier, and I'm captured, every minute that I'm alive is a minute that I can be trying to escape.
It's also
captivity.
They'll torture you.
I'm not going to kill myself. I'm not going to abandon my wife and children and my country because
sir,
I'm a coward and want to stick a gun in my mouth and swallow a bullet.
That's not a coward. That takes courage. Otherwise, they'll torture you and get information.
Let them torture you to death. Keep your tongue. Hold your tongue. As long as you can.
There's no way. They'll torture you.
A way to escape. Do not shoot yourself.
Put red ants on your genitals. It hurts.
Well, whatever, kid. I don't want to know torture techniques.
I don't either.
You're telling both of us here that you guys train Code 9 in the military to take your own lives.
Absolutely, sir. Now, what I'm saying about Trent Lott is this. He has made a mockery of the Republican Party and our commander-in-chief. I think he would be doing a great service to his country if he swallowed a bullet.
I think he'd do a great service to his country if he resigned.
But he wouldn't.
Let him resign in disgrace.
Sir,
let it be known that he won't be elected to any other public office as long as he's alive, because this will hang over his head forever.
But if he killed himself, that's also the same as resigning, because he wouldn't be able to do the job anymore, too.
And he wouldn't be able to see his wife and kids
and apologize for anything he's
done.
Well, he already did apologize, so there's only one thing left to do. Take his own life.
Lord.
It would be way better than to look stupid the way he do now.
That man has to do is resign.
He's putting our country in danger.
He needs to resign from that Senate. He's not putting anything in danger. He's hiding right now. He's going to keep hiding.
Have you ever been in the military?
No.
Well, that's the whole thing, that you don't know about Code 9.
Oh, come on, kid.
I have a father who is a colonel in the Air Force, and he's never mentioned anything about Code 9 to me.
I just talked
to him just before I called this show, and he has never mentioned anything of Code 9. He's never heard of Code 9.
Did you ask him about it?
Yes. He was a pilot.
No problem. So they didn't go over to the commandant's quarters and salute him and then put cap pistols in their mouths?
No.
Well, that's a new one.
He wouldn't do that. He's not that. I've never heard anything like that before until I heard this show tonight.
Well, here's the thing. You say that the cadets go over to the commandant's quarters. He curtsies and blows a kiss?
Yes, sir. That is a traditional salute. Yes, sir.
He curtsies and blows a kiss?
Yes, sir.
Is he pretending to be a woman at this point?
I don't know why he would do that, sir, when 30 cadets are about ready to shoot themselves.
Bid you a farewell, I guess. That's the craziest thing I ever heard.
Yeah, he's just sort of like, you know, nice trip, boys.
Yeah.
Sir, that is the ultimate send-off by a commanding officer. And if you say your brother was in the United States Air Force...
No,
ask him about the curtsy and your father. Ask him about the curtsy. It is one of the ultimate send-offs by any command. Call your dad up and say, Dad, did anybody curtsy and blow up?
Will you get out of here with that?
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yes, that is. And my brother was in the Navy. He told me that they would curtsy and blow a kiss as they shipped out. As the ship was sailing, all of the admirals would be there, just a little curtsy, and then they'd walk away. And that's our military. 1-800-449-8686 is the Phil Henry Show. And don't forget, our website is philhenryshow.com. A reminder that tomorrow is our webcast. Our webcast will feature a six-hour webcast. You'll see us. You'll view us. You can see us as we do our show prep in the office, and then we'll come in And we'll do our show. It's available on philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. philhenryshow.com. The backstage pass is only $6.95 a month. And I want to just kind of make this very clear. You'll get the backstage pass. You get access to all of the audio that we have on our site. The webcast is just a bonus. So in other words, in order to see the webcast, you have to have a backstage pass, but you're not paying extra for it. It's just bonused in with everything else that you get on our website. That's tomorrow. It starts at 1 o'clock Pacific. 1 o'clock Pacific goes all the way until 7 p.m. Pacific on the Phil Henry Show. So I had a call yesterday from my kid's school, and I almost got into some trouble with the teacher because last summer, my youngest son and I were swimming, and you know how it is, you're just talking, and it feels kind of good, the sun feels good, and you splash around, so we wrote this song. It's a silly song, and Maria heard it, and she thought it was very funny. And my youngest son is 13, and the song goes like, it's really stupid. The song goes, Biff Jones, he's my friend. And there's a melody to it. Known the guy my whole life. Then one night I caught him bedding with my wife. Got my gun. Now I need new sheets. I mean, that's the song. Okay. And my son is just, he's howling with laughter at this. He thinks it's the greatest thing, and he keeps singing. So guess what happens? The other day he's out on the schoolyard singing this tune with his buddies, and the teacher hears it. Then one night, caught him in bed with my wife. And so what happens is, you know, then I got my gun. Now I need new sheets. So anyway, I talked with his teacher, and I thought I was in deep doo-doo. I thought, you know, there was going to be some investigation. I thought Child Protective Services. I thought that there would be a, you know, whatever they can do to parents these days. I would be remanded into, you know, state custody, and the child would be put in foster care, and I would be then attacked and raped by inmates and then sent home with a warning. I didn't know what was going to happen. And it turned out everything was cool. You know, she kind of even laughed. I said, well, no, you know, you got to understand about the youngest guy. He's goofy like me. He's nuts. The other two guys are very serious. But the youngest guy, he's a nutball. He's always coming up with goofball stuff. He plays piano, and he's always coming up with weird things. So thank God this teacher was sort of hip. But it was a close call on that one. So you watch it next time you send your kid to school with a plastic fork. Do you understand? Just remember that song, Biff Jones. He's my wife. Never mind. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced. And now, Phil Henry.
Go ahead.
I've got a statement to make about morality, because I did hear your show yesterday concerning the moral disintegration. And I think it's as close as your own mail when you get a Christmas card, as we do, from people who send pictures of themselves and their families, these Christmas photograph cards.
I got a mantle full of them. In fact, I don't know how to prop them up. They're always just one picture, you know?
Well, we've got a few ourselves, yes.
And it has a picture of the family and...
We've got a few ourselves, but the moral problem, the moral hypocrisy and the double standard of morality, we got a picture Christmas card from a couple who live in the next block, and my wife understood, she overheard a conversation at church last Saturday. We were having our son confirmed, that this couple is getting a divorce, that they're not happy, that she has been adulterous and he's been adulterous. She slept with other men, and yet they send out their Christmas card. And I remember looking at this Christmas card.
This is the picture of the two of them together?
Picture the two of them together. She's sitting on his lap, in a wicker chair. And I looked at this, I said, you know, I had a stroke 3 years ago that left me with only 80% of the use of my right arm. And I felt the same sensation in the left side of my head when I looked at that picture as I did 3 years ago, sir, when I had that stroke.
What is it? Is it the hypocrisy?
It is the sheer hypocrisy of sending out a picture of the two of them when they're going to have a divorce. And I'll tell you something. It is hypocritical. It is morally wrong.
Well, what is hypocritical about it?
What is hypocritical about it?
Yeah, what is hypocritical? I mean, they're sending out a picture.
Because it's called a con job, Mr. Henry. And I'm very familiar with it. I got into a conversation with a gentleman who, I'm in the cabinetry business, interior cabinetry business, and I talked to an insurance gentleman who had been an insurance investigator a few years ago. And these people will con you into thinking they're something they're not. They're liars. They lie. They're deceitful. I have had these people in my home. I've socialized with them, and now they send me a picture of them at Christmas time, and the two of them are getting a divorce. That is a lie, and it's the kind of thing that undermines, I think, the morality. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about morality. And your show was a great example of that yesterday.
Well, I've got these picture cards in my mantle. People go to a lot of trouble to have them made. For instance, my friend sent one of him and his wife and his kids so I could see his kids.
Is your friend getting a divorce?
No, he's not getting a divorce, but I hadn't seen the kids in a while.
Is he sending out pictures of himself and his wife like they're having themselves a picnic, like it's the middle of summertime and the two of them are just rubbing on each other? I don't.
No, he's not.
All right, well, he's not, as your friend is honest. Well, these people that live in the next block, and I had talked to Bill Chapman, who is our block captain on our neighborhood watch, about them, and I said, take a look at these two. They drive Corvettes. They've got the...
The kind of car that a guy drives doesn't make...
Well, let me tell you something. The two of them drive Corvettes. The two of them are involved in they've got the swim parties that they have, and they have sex with other people of every kind of race. This is the... And so this is the dishonesty. And these are people that ruin Christmas.
All right, why do you care? This is the big question. Why do you care about what these people are doing?
Why do I care?
Yeah.
I'll tell you why I care. 7.5 years ago, the same thing happened to me. I had to send out a picture of my wife and I. I'll tell you something. It's tough for me to... I'll explain it to you.
I want
to
know, why do you care that these people are having a divorce and sending out a picture like they're happy?
7.5 years ago, I had to sit down and have a picture with my wife made for our Christmas card one night after I found out that she had been with two offensive linemen for the Arizona Cardinals. These were two professional football players, two blacks, which doesn't make any difference to me, but we had a knockdown, drag out.
You mean sexually?
Yes, sir. The next day, she makes me put on a cardigan sweater and a bow tie. And I got to go down and have a picture made of me and her, and we send it out at Christmas. Not 24 hours after I found out about her and two professional football players, two black gentlemen.
And your friends who are getting the divorce, like they're a couple of phonies in a Christmas card just like you?
I don't think phony's the word for it. They're deceitful. And what I did, because I have experience with this sort of thing, you know what I did with the picture they sent?
All right, hold on for a minute. So you think that sending out Christmas card pictures of couples looking happy when they're getting divorced, is lying and deceitful?
I do.
Because your wife made you do it 24 hours after she told you she'd had sex with two Arizona Cardinals.
Yes, sir. And I'm not trying to play up the sex angle with my wife. I'm just trying to say it is painful. It hurts. It hurts a lot. And what I did with the card that they...
I want to give our number out, all right?
But I want to tell you what I did with the card they gave me.
That's fine. I want to give her a number out. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Are you saying that people who send these cards out shouldn't?
I'm saying that people who send out pictures of themselves and their family members are covering something up. If you're happy, You don't have to send out a picture of the four of you or the three of you or the five of you sitting there on a wall.
All right, now we're getting to the point. So you believe...
I believe that this... It's all baloney. It's all baloney. It's all...
It's baloney because when they send out pictures of themselves, they're not really happy.
No.
Well, I guess I'll have to ask people because I don't do it.
No, I do. And let me tell you something. I got this picture from this couple. The couple that sent it to us.
Yeah.
The phonies that are getting a divorce. And I ripped it in half, and I took her half, the picture of her, and I scotch taped to it a picture of Tim Bowens of the Miami Dolphins. And I sent it back to them saying, I forget what I put on the card, but it basically said, I got your happy holidays swinging right here, or something like that.
So you mailed back the woman and the picture of a football player. Your anger seems a little bit out of focus.
No, I just don't like phony baloney sending me pictures of their family all grinning when they're out dating all kinds of people, driving Corvettes and all that. I don't like the phony baloney. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, you were a phony baloney once in your life.
That's my wife made me do that.
How does a woman, let me ask you something. You had an argument with her, and she said that she'd had sex with two professional football players.
Right.
Then she says, but tomorrow we got to get our pictures taken, wear the cardigan sweater and the bow tie.
Yes, sir.
How does a woman talk you into doing something like that after dropping that news on you?
I don't know, but I'll tell you this. She was a beautiful woman, and she was a man. She was built. She was built.
So she was beautiful and sexy.
Beautiful and sexy.
All right, well... I would disagree that people who send pictures of themselves and their families at Christmas are phony balonies. I would disagree with that.
Do you have any... How do you know they're happy?
I can't believe that...
Mr. Henry, take it from me, because I know what I'm talking about. When you send out a picture of yourself at Christmas with your family, you're hiding something. I don't know what you're doing, but it's... People ought to look into it. Because when I sent that picture out with my wife 24 hours before... She had told me, let me tell you something. The entire NFC Eastern Division just had me in my rear.
That's very nice.
Well, that's...
That's great. Funny how we worked football into that. The entire NFC Eastern Division... do you get these pictures? I get them. I don't know, and I seriously don't know how to prop them up in the mantle. Pictures of families at Christmas. And this gentleman believes that it is deceitful to send one of those out if you're really not happy, or if you are getting a divorce, or if you are, whatever. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. He had one made of himself and his wife, not 24 hours after she said she'd been unfaithful to him. With the Arizona Cardinals or something, and I'm sure that it rings in a personal manner for him. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, Austin, you there?
Yes, sir.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a cabinet man. I do kitchen cabinets, sir.
And you are essentially saying that 7.5 years ago, you got turned off to the idea of people sending for Christmas photographs of themselves because your wife forced you into a very hypocritical situation. She had told me that she had told you that she had been having sex with two professional football players, and then the very next day she wanted to go and have the picture made.
Yeah, that's right. And I went with her. I'm disappointed in myself, but that's the way women are with men. They will leave men into all kinds of things because they are, after all, the fair sex. And she was, and I'm saying this with as a Christian, she was as put together as any woman I've ever seen. Real, you know, extra pretty. So I did. I put myself at risk. And to this day, I keep that picture folded up in my wallet. It's a picture of me in a cardigan sweater with a bow tie, and I look for all the world like the biggest jackass that ever dropped out of the rear end of an elephant.
I understand.
I'm embarrassed by it. I feel like an idiot. And I let that, whatever you want to call her, talk me into it.
Where is she now?
Where is she now?
Yeah.
She's at the market. She's,
oh, you're still married to this woman?
Yes, sir. I don't know. I thought I made that clear.
It sounded to me like you divorced her. You're still married to her.
Yeah. But she's come around, although she is still a football fan. Now, anyway.
All right. So I want to find out now about the couple around the corner. They're married, but they're getting a divorce. How do you know?
My wife overheard it at church last Saturday. These two are getting divorced, and yet in the mail I get their big smiling faces. You know, people lie in these family letters that they send, too. Are you familiar with these?
I got a lot of those. I don't like those either for one reason and one reason only. I find them to be a little boring. I'm not saying that my life is exciting.
Well, I wouldn't find them boring if they were truthful. But when they send out those letters at Christmas, they are filled with prevarication and the blackest of lies. Lies that can seep into the soul and turn a man from a good father into a black thing that will follow the will of Satan and all of his legion. All you got to do is read these Christmas letters that the kids have received, that they got degrees, that they have a new job, that their children are married, that Eddie's got a deal, somebody's got a new job, somebody made more money, somebody, these are filthy lies that are promoted by the United States Post Office.
Yes, sir.
Hallmark, any stationery store, and any club. You see, they send them out to you like they're in the damn women's club. You see, Phil, people are so afraid to let their friends and family know that they're losers. My kid's in the ballet. My kid...
What's wrong with hearing about somebody's life? I get these letters...
Well, I wouldn't mind hearing about their lives if it wasn't just filled with lie after lie.
I get these letters from people... What did I get the other day? Eddie's, you know, like you say, the kid's in basketball. Susie is in ballet class.
Lie.
You know, Bob is starting a new job.
Another lie.
Well, why do you call this all lies?
Nobody's life changes like that. Nobody just goes from job to job. So I keep these in a special envelope, and I've got in my desk. Now, what I propose and what I'm asking here is that you people in the media stop romanticizing all these things. You romanticize these letters. You romanticize...
Oh, you people again, huh?
Well, not you specifically, sir, but I know the media romanticizes the pictures. And
well, I don't know anybody in the media that does that.
I'll tell you something, that Hallmark... who produces the stationery upon which that these letters are written, is controlled by the devil, and I wouldn't be surprised if the owners are not from this world, but sit at the feet of the Dark Lord himself. And
we're talking about Hallmark greeting cards.
Yeah, whoever they, yes, exactly.
Hallmark.
Yeah. Those guys sit at the feet of the Dark Lord himself. I'm just saying that these bastards that send those letters out, I think they just hurt all of us. And what I'm asking you people in the media do to just stop romanticizing it.
I don't know anybody that romanticizes those things. I don't know anybody that sends cards and sends letters. I don't know anyone that encourages the sending of photographs and family letters. I make fun of it on my show.
Well, I've heard that a few times.
I make fun of those, but not only because they've been around for so long, but sometimes it's fun to read them. You know, I suppose.
Well, are they sleeping together? Are they still having sex? They don't tell you any of that, do they? They don't say, "I can't have sex with Richard any longer because of his prostate cancer and the Viagra doesn't work. As a result, I am frustrated, and I'm unhappy, and I'm not sleeping, and I'm drinking more." They don't say that, do you? Or do they?
Oh, well, that'd be a lot of fun, man, reading that at Christmas.
What?
What do you mean, what? Ed can't screw me anymore because he has prostate cancer and I'm drinking more. I'm going to read that at Christmas time.
Well, at least that's the truth. And the guys that photograph these family pictures that you get at Christmas, they're the demon, too. A father can have his hand down his son's pants and say,
will you shut up?
Well, it could.
Well, only if in your mind, in your warped, and in your sick, sick, sick view of reality.
I'm sick.
I believe so, sir, to say that these family letters are the product of Hallmark, whose owners sit at the feet of Satan.
You never read Still Fighting That Nasty STD I Told You About Last Year. You never read that, do you? You never read, guess what? Mark is now showing symptoms of AIDS. You never read that. You never read, well, day three and the methadone treatment is still working. That's what my Christmas letter is going to say this year. One, yes, my wife still is a whore. Two, yes, my...
Sir, I don't want to know your life.
No, I want people to know this is what my Christmas letter is going to say this year. Because I am not going to lie in my Christmas letter.
I don't want to know your personal life.
I'm going to say, yeah, my wife is still a whore. My son hates me because I don't let his sissy ballet friends come over. I've moved out and I now live in the trunk of my car. My life sucks. Merry Christmas.
And to come on my show and make everybody else's life suck because you say their pictures are phony.
Everybody else's life suck.
Yes, that's what you're doing. Their pictures are phony, they're phony, their letters are phony. It's sitting at... What do you mean Hallmark's owners sit at the feet of Satan?
Well, I'm...
You're just unhappy, man. Just go be unhappy somewhere else.
Mr. Henry, I suggest that you think long and hard on what I said before. You turn your life over to the demon master, to the puppet master in the hellion regions who will...
Yeah, okay, great.
Well, I can guarantee you there are a lot more men out there whose wives have had the NFL in their rear end.
Okay, thanks. 1-800-449-8686. She had the whole NFC Eastern Division. Good Lord, what?
You should see the photo of me on my Christmas letter, Phil. It's me swinging in the wind from the end of a rope with a Christmas wreath around my neck.
That's great.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Extremism.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Mercado, California's Christmas Business Leader of the Year has joined us, Robert Green. He is a man chosen by their Chamber of Commerce up there as a guy who embodies the traditional values of Christmas and the traditional values of building a business. And we wanted to have you on today, Bob. Thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure, Phil.
You're the owner of Fraser Foods, right?
Fraser Foods is a grocery store that my family has owned for the last 31 years. My brother and I have been running the business for 15 of the last 31 years. Yes, sir.
And congratulations on being called the Christmas Business Leader of the Year. And I like the way they combine those two things, Christmas and business. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I sure can, Phil. I'm very familiar with this award. I'm a member of the Chamber of Commerce, and we've been lucky enough to bestow it on some very deserving men and women over the last couple of years, mostly men, but some women have won it. The spirit of Christmas and business can be combined in a positive way, and they can be combined to help to build the community. Christmas is a time for tradition, and the reason why I won this award, and I'm not tooting my own horn, but I am an old-fashioned guy, and I think I conduct my business, my personal life, and my home life that way.
Give us an example of that when you say, we hear so much about traditional values. old-fashioned values. What does that mean?
Well, I think it's having your own mind on things, not necessarily going along with the crowd. I can pull something from the day's headlines. I don't want to be controversial or anything, but I think that Trent Lott, the senator from Mississippi, has gotten a raw deal. He said what he felt, and now every Democrat and Republican want to nail him to a cross and force-feed him vinegar. Why? Because he's old-fashioned. Because he has old-fashioned values. And he has old-fashioned traditional ideas. I don't see what he did wrong, and I don't want to debate it with anybody.
Well, let's talk about that.
No, I don't want to debate it with you, Mr. Henry. I have my opinion. I'm entitled to my opinion. That's why I'm the California Christmas Business Leader of the Year, because I'm not going to sit here and debate what I already know.
All right. We need the old-fashioned values, right?
Yes, sir.
Give me an example.
From my business?
No, from your home.
Well, I run my home the way I run my business. My home is at Christmas and at other times, we put up colored lights. We don't put up white lights. I don't care what people think. We like the traditional colored lights, and they're going to go up whether people like it or not, whether my wife likes it or not, or any of the kids like it or not. I put up the lights that I want to put up. And why is that? Because I am the leader of my family. I am the traditional leader of my family. I am the male. And so my family follows my lead, and it's been very good for us over the 17 years that Candace and I have been married and with our three kids. There are other examples.
Oh, so you put up the lights, but I mean in your home.
Well, I can tell you that we're not politically correct. If I want to smoke a cigarette, and I do smoke cigarettes, if I want to smoke one in my home, I will. If I want to smoke a cigarette in a restaurant, I will. I do that. I don't let anybody tell me what to do. And that is old-fashioned values. A man who knows himself...
Well, how do you get away with smoking a cigarette in a restaurant?
By lighting it up and smoking it.
Well, don't people tell you to get out? I mean...
No. Most of the restaurant owners and bar owners in California admire a man who will look them in the eye and say, you know what, I don't care what the law states. I have smoked cigarettes in restaurants for... you know, however many years. I mean, I'm 36 years old, and I've been smoking since I was 14, so that's 22 years. And most restaurant and bar owners will admire you when you look them in the eye and you say, you know what, I'm smoking in your restaurant. I don't care what you think. I'd love to see you try to make me put it out. They respect that, and they'll let you keep smoking because they know they themselves don't want to have the smoking ban.
All right, I'm talking with Robert Green. He is the California Christmas Business Leader of the Year from Mercado, California. He has won this award for his traditional approach to business, his old-fashioned Christmas values toward business and toward his home. It's very interesting. I want to give our phone number out here, Mr. Green. I want to ask you more about your home and your business. 1-800-449-8686 is our number on The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. By saying you do what you want when you want, you embody old-fashioned values that speak to a time when men ran businesses and families.
That is correct, and I run my family. I don't tell other people what to do, but in my family, I run my family. Why? Not because I'm smarter, not because I'm dumber, because I'm the man. That's why I run my family. My wife may be a brain surgeon. She may be a rocket scientist. But as long as she's married to me, I run my family. She doesn't. If I want to park in a handicapped parking slot, I'll do it. Who's going to tell me that I can't? This is the way America was once upon a time, Mr. Henry. This is the way men use self-determination.
Did you say a handicapped parking slot?
I'm sorry?
Did you say you'll park in a handicapped...
Yes.
Why? How can you do that?
Because I drive a car and I'll park where I want to park it. It's a parking lot, and there's a parking slot there. And for some reason, we're supposed to stay away from it. I go and I park there because that's the way our country was built, on men and women who said, I'm going to go and do something that nobody else has done. I'm going over that river. I'm going over that mountain. I'm going into that valley. And you see that handicapped parking spot? And my wife will say, well, don't park there, Robert. Somebody handicapped may need it. I'll say, oh, really? Watch this. I parked there. And
have you gotten tickets?
You know what? Most cops are going to respect you for having the guts to do that. And no, I haven't gotten a ticket. I've had officers say to me secretly, I admire what you just did, because how is it that there are so many sheep out there that stay away from handicapped slots. And
you've had police officers see you pull into a handicapped slot and say they admire that.
Yes, sir, because that's why I keep in mind why I'm on your program, Mr. Henry. I am the California Christmas Business Leader of the Year, which means I have traditional values and I'm a leader. People respect that, especially police officers, who see me make a bold move and a bold statement.
Robert Greene, you can do whatever you want to do, obviously your business now, but when you smoke in a restaurant and when you park in a handicap zone, you are breaking the law.
Okay, if you say, what difference does that make if I've got the respect of that bar owner, when he says to me, excuse me, so there's no smoking in here, and I say, well, guess what? Yes, there is. And I keep smoking, and I look him in the eye, and he backs down because he knows that I'm right.
What about in your home? What about at Christmas time? What about when you have family over?
Well, Phil, first of all, when you come into my home at Christmas, you bring something with you. You bring a bottle. You bring a basket of fruit. You bring something. You don't come in empty-handed. Otherwise, you don't come into my home. That is traditional Christmas. When I see you come through the front door of my home, you better have something for me and my wife. That's tradition. That's the way civilized human beings behave, and that's how you behave in my home. Secondly, at Christmas time, when I ask you, do you want a drink? I don't mean 7-Up, and I don't mean Coca-Cola. I mean, do you want a drink? And you will say yes. You're not going to say no, thank you, and all of that politically correct stuff that has destroyed the spirit of the holidays. You will have a drink, and you'll drink with me. Secondly, Phil, only when the party is over are you allowed to leave my home. You don't say, I've got a babysitter I got to get to. You don't say, I got to get up early in the morning. If you had a babysitter to get to and get up early in the morning, then you know what? Don't come to my house. You'll stay until the party's over. There are a lot of, I don't know what you want me to.
Boy, that's, when you say your home is your castle, your home is your castle. No, that's fine.
These are true American values that we got to hang on to, Phil. We have lost these values over the years. We are pussyfooting around. Oh, excuse me, would you like 7-Up? Would you like a Coke? Would you like a Diet Coke? You don't get that in my home. Do you want a screwdriver? Do you want a whiskey sour? Do you want a scotch and soda? That's what you get in my home. And when you come to my home, you will have the civilized behavior to bring a present into the home of something. When you come to my home, Phil, as well, you are expected to help prepare your meal. My wife isn't your maid. She's not your cook. She's not your waiter. So you'll come into the kitchen. You'll help chop some onions. You'll help chop some mushrooms.
I see. So this is all very traditional.
The way it used to be. You'll help make your meal, and then you'll take your meal into the dining room, and you'll sit it on the table. You'll sit down. You'll shut up until I sit down. This is what built this country, these traditional values. And remember, I won the Christmas...
Christmas Business Leader...
Right, through your Christmas Business Leader of the Year Award.
Robert Greene, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Robert is the Christmas Business Leader of the Year Award, who has a no-nonsense and very definite approach to how he handles his home, his business, and other areas. These are traditional values. These are the traditional values that build America, in his opinion. Light up a cigarette wherever you want to because we've got too much control. Park in any handicapped space you want to because we're told we can't do this and we can't do that. And when he asks you if you'd like a drink, you're going to have, he means alcoholic drink, and you're going to have one, whether you like it or not. He's a man who definitely controls his own home, that's for sure. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Robert Greene is my guest, the winner of the Mercado California Christmas Business Leader of the Year Award. And why is that? It's a Leader of the Year Award given to men who embody traditional values and the old-fashioned ways of running their homes. And he has said, among other things, that he'll light up a cigarette in any restaurant he chooses to and that he will park in any handicap zone he chooses to. That's law breaking, Mr. Green. But you say you've talked cops out of tickets.
Absolutely. Phil, I'm not encouraging people to break the law, but I also encourage people to be human beings in the great American tradition. And when a police officer sees me boldly park in a handicap zone because I'm getting sick and tired of having to walk 100 yards or whatever it is, they respect that. The police will back down in the face of a man who knows who he is. And I've had a lot of cops back down.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Michael, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, this is Mike Bradley. How you doing?
Fine, sir.
Hey, my comment to this guy is that, you know, he must, his knuckles drag on the ground. I mean,
well, my knuckles, sir. I'm a father, a husband, and a business owner, and a business leader.
Yeah, but you know what? Anybody who would stoop low enough to take and park in a handicapped spot, that's not being a man. That's being a child. That's being immature.
No, wait a minute.
I mean,
for
no,
years
no,
we've been told not to park here, not to park there. Nobody tells me what to do. No.
Well, you know what? When you get old, and you have to have a handicap sticker, I hope to God that somebody's parking in your spot and you can't go in the store. Because
well,
you know what? No.
No,
you're wrong.
I'm going to take care of myself so that I don't need to be on a walker or an oxygen tank. Now,
but you know what?
Well, how do you know, Mr. Green?
Well, I know, Phil, because I'm an old-fashioned American. And the reason why this gentleman's angry is because I'm the guy that has the parking spot and he doesn't.
First of all, I am not angry. I'm very disappointed that you refer to yourself as a man. Okay? Because
well,
a real
on.
Man...
No, that, no. That's anger. That's anger.
No,
let
no.
The man finish,
a real
right?
man... A real man... Does allows his woman to be an equal, and she is his partner. She is not a doormat.
Traditional,
okay,
traditional family values. That's what we represent in our family.
No,
she does what I tell her to do. And
but you know what?
It was good enough for the first 100 years of Americans. Why isn't it good enough now?
Well, haven't
because
things changed? You know.
Well, think of it like this, okay? A wife is your best friend. She's your partner. She's not a doormat.
Oh, that's all
she
that
is.
Modern
she is.
Baloney.
No.
That's all that Dr. Laura Baloney. I don't buy that, and you don't either.
Well, I know. I know, but that's because that's why you sleep in a room by yourself, and your wife has a boyfriend because
you know,
she wants a real man.
Oh, is that right? You know this about my life? Huh? How do you know that?
Well,
you're just angry because your wife cut your nuggets off the minute you said I do.
No. No, yeah. I'm not. I'm not mad. I'm very disappointed. No,
I'm in charge of my family. My daughter came home the other day. She says to me she wants to bring this Michael over to the house. I said, okay, we'd love to meet him. She said, Daddy, he is, and what's the, for they use the word African-American. I said, forget it.
You didn't.
Yes, I did. And I got no prejudice. I got no prejudice. But my daughter was not going to mix with blacks. Now, am I afraid to say that?
That shows how shallow you are, how shallow of a human being you are. Because you know what?
I tell my daughter, she don't mix with blacks. I tell my daughter, and I have black friends, and I have black business partners.
Good
Lord.
But now,
you basically what you're saying is that she has an illiterate father, and you are condemning a whole race, and yet
illiterate.
Illiterate one.
Illiterate
yes.
means you can't
yes.
read. I know how to read. I read a book a month. How many books do you read in a year?
But you know what? We're not talking about that. We're talking about how many people...
You said I was illiterate, which means you can't read. That's the word.
All right,
no,
we understand.
No,
we know what illiterate means.
Illiterate means that you do not...
Good old-fashioned American values. Good old-fashioned American values. My daughter don't mix with spades. And
Sir, I don't want any of those pejoratives on my show. Do you understand me?
What?
I don't want the word spade on my show.
See, I mean...
I'm sorry. I mean, I have just said...
I mean, you won
now,
the...
Now, wait a minute. How can you be sorry because you park in handicapped spots and you tell your wife what to do? And, if I mean, you must get beat up a lot in your house. I got to say that.
I don't get beat up. I'm not putting newspapers down on the floor so she can bring some monkey home.
Sir, I'm going to tell you one more time, and I'm shocked and I'm amazed that the city of Mercado, California would give a Christmas Business Leader Award to a man who refers to black people as monkeys.
But you see, Mr. Henry, you are tied to political correctness.
Sometimes political correctness is a good thing. Sometimes it's a necessary thing. It maintains our tether to civilization.
I believe in traditional American values.
Let the traditional American values, it says a guy drinks at a different water fountain, says that Indians are on a reservation, you can kill a Native American child.
Oh, Jesus, are you getting, you're really getting dramatic, aren't you? Look, I do what I want in my family.
Good for you.
And you know what? I really
are you still,
sorry
this guy still here?
I feel sorry for your kids because, I mean, they're being raised by hypocrites. You take
I'm
you,
not a hypocrite.
You're a dictator.
Some
you're a
of my
dictator.
Favorites, my friends are black, my workers are black. But my son, I'm going to tell you, you think I'm a dictator? Listen to this. My son is gay. My son lives in the San Francisco Bay Area. He says to me, Dad, I'm getting married. I said, good God, what does that mean? He married another guy.
So what?
Then he says to me he wants to come down for Christmas with this guy and sleep in the same bed. In the same, I said, forget it. No gays, no gays, no gays. Not
but,
in my
but,
home.
But, are you that insecure that if a gay man walked into your house that you want to drop down to your knees and service him? You sound like a very insecure man.
Sex. You got sex on your mind, Michael. I tell you what, I got a couple of phone numbers you can call. Some places that
no, I don't have sex on my mind. You're the one that's bringing up your gay son and everything.
I just said I'm not having two gays under the same roof doing that in my wife's house. Forget it. It won't happen. I thought it was your house. I am very much I'm very much in favor of equal rights. I just don't want my wife, my daughter mixing with monkeys, and I don't want...
I don't want that word anymore. Do you understand?
I apologize. I don't want my daughter mixing with them, and I don't want any of the gay stuff around. Traditional American values is what's lacking. What did Trent Lott do that was so bad? He said something that needed to be said. We'd be better off with Strom Thurmond.
No. See,
that jungle vine stuff that we got going on.
But you know what?
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Hi, I'm Trent Lott. I listen to the Phil Hendry Show, Celebrity Voice Impersonated.
I want to tell you,
he's criticizing me getting seat covers
you
for my
life. You go to hell, you ugly pig.
Me?
You shut your mouth. I'm not talking to you, you stupid ass. I'm talking to Phil Hendry, not to you. You can go to hell. You're not worth anything.
Yes, Sylvia.
Moron.
I'm right here, Sylvia. It's Phil Hendry.
I tell that guy to shut his mouth. I'm not talking to him. He's garbage to me.
Go ahead, dear.
Every time I hear his voice, I want to regurgitate.
Go ahead, dear.
What is all that voice? What are they doing now?
They're hammering in his office next door.
He can hammer his head. He's the worst animal I've ever heard on radio.
Well, I'm very sorry.
I wish the hell he'd get his head broken. You know, if I was there, I would take it up with a baseball bat.
What? I didn't hear you, Sylvia. Say that again.
I said if I had a baseball bat, I'd take a baseball bat and knock his head off. He's an ugly pig. Every time I hear his voice on radio, I get sick.
Well, you know, the guy won't let Jimmy Newell, his wife is pregnant. She's going to give birth tonight.
Yeah, and he won't let him go.
No, he won't let him go.
Well, he can do better than tell him to go to hell.
And
that's what I want to talk to him and tell him to go to hell.
David?
He's a coward.
David, are you there?
Oh, you
a rotten coward.
You haven't seen a Valentine's
Day. You're a coward. You're an ugly pig.
Just a bull.
You are an ugly pig. Go to hell.
Listen to that, Sylvia. I can't hear anything because of these guys working.
I know, but he's doing it deliberately. He's
hey,
a
David,
dog.
David, why don't you tell these guys, to knock the work off, okay?
Phil.
That old bag you're talking to ain't worth my time.
Yes, ma'am.
You could work for an animal like that. It's ridiculous.
Well, I think you're right. He is
an animal. He's not a human being. I wish I was there. You know what I could do to him?
What's that?
I could go right into his
Well, that's a pretty violent thing.
What did you say?
Violent, but
wait,
that's how I feel about him. I despise that man.
What did you say, lady?
Shut your mouth, you pig!
Smile when you
ugly
say that.
Pig.
You better.
I dare you to come down here. I'll break your neck.
Smile when you say that to me.
I'll go drop dead where you're standing, you ugly pig.
When did Moses give you that Valentine, by the way?
You go to hell, don't you dare! You don't deserve to live with human beings. Get the hell to the ground where you belong,
Get
you ugly animal.
To the ground?
Yes,
drop dead. You know what I'm doing?
Oh, drop dead. You could have just
drop dead and get into the ground, you bastard.
Don't you think you want to be lying down?
Go drop dead. You're an ugly animal. You don't deserve to live with human beings.
Hey, Sylvia, can I ask you a question? This is Phil. I was dead.
He's doing that purposely.
What? I'm sorry, honey. Did you hear me?
No.
All right. I was downtown. You want me to do it, okay?
Stupid animal.
No, but did you hear what I said to you? I was talking to this guy.
He hear that? I don't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. David, don't tell him to turn it down.
Turn what down?
Turn down the stuff outside. Anyway, Sylvia, this guy tells me that if I...
I swear to God, if I ever met that man, I take my shoes off with the high heels and I put it right into his eyes.
I don't blame you.
What's the matter with you, Harry?
He's an ugly, stupid animal.
Why don't you turn the noise down so I can talk to Sylvia?
I didn't do anything.
Bull crap! You did it on purpose!
Oh, I did it on purpose! Boy, aren't you just the persecuted one.
You're a moron! You're an ugly, stupid pig!
All right, Sylvia, what I wanted to say was, there were three people down in... David, why'd you do that?
Do what?
He's doing it deliberately.
I didn't do anything.
He's a liar.
I'm a liar now.
Yes, you're a stupid, ugly liar.
Well, thanks a lot, Jesus.
You're a disgusting pig.
And let me tell you something, Virgin
Don't
Mary.
Don't tell me anything. Drop dead.
Sylvia, these people who are...
I know it.
Will you stop that, David?
I want to tell you something.
Yes.
If I were there, and I ever met anybody like that moron, I would take my shoes off and knock his head off with them.
Is this Mother Teresa?
Go drop dead, you ugly pig, you!
David, you should...
What'd you say?
I said, David, you shouldn't be talking to...
Didn't catch that.
Will you stop it with those saws?
He's doing that.
He is doing it on purpose.
I know he is.
I said, David, don't talk to this
occasion to meet that man, I could, you know what? I'm a pretty good expert in certain physical abilities.
Serious?
Yes, I'm not, I am serious.
What, like what?
Well, like in jiu-jitsu.
Jiu-jitsu. You don't know jiu-jitsu from Gene Simmons.
You go to hell, you're lucky I'm not near you, because I could have given you a shot in your teeth and knocked all of them out.
You're telling me you know judo, is that it?
Huh?
What, do you know judo, is that it?
That's right.
David.
Yes, that's right. How'd you get back, you stupid ass?
Anyway, that's from our Best Of CD for this year, 2002, World Famous. And I was counting the number of ways she wanted to kill David. She was going to take her high heels off and knock his head off. She was going to get a baseball bat and knock his head off. The best one, though, was she was going to take her high heel off and jam it into his eye. That was Sylvia. That's from our Best of the Year 2002 CD, World Famous. You got to get it. You can get it online at philhenryshow.com. You can pick it up by calling this number, 877-616-7445. You can do it either way. And all of the money, after we recoup our production costs, goes to my friend's place. And by production cost, I'm not talking about a salary or payment to me. I'm talking about the guys that do the artwork, put it in the jewel case, press it, all of that. That's production cost. As soon as they get paid, then the rest of the money goes to the guys at my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And it's a perfect gift for Christmas. So we encourage you to pick one up online at philhenryshow.com or 877-616-7445. The Phil Henry Show will be right back.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Some guy stabbed his wife with a knife after he went to go get cookies for the kids and she didn't want him. Oh, I know what it is. It happened in Santa Barbara. Here's why I wanted to talk to you about this. They had an argument over a handful of candy. Apparently, he went to get some candy for the kids And she didn't want the kids to have any more candy, and she went to grab the candy, and he started stabbing her with a knife. Now, this is a guy who needs medicine. This is, and you think I'm kidding, I'm not. They have medicine now that can help people like this. This is just a guy whose neurotransmitters went haywire. You imagine that? Guy's 72, his wife's 50, they got the grandkids over. She says, don't give them any more candy. Oh, yes, I will. How many times have you seen these grandparents get into these arguments like that? She says, no, you won't. Yes, I will. He goes over to get the candy. She grabs his hand, and he pulls a knife out and starts stabbing her. Now, my old man threw a fork at my mother one night, but I... And there's another guy that could have used the medicine. My father. There's a guy that could have used handful of medicine. Just hand after handful of medicine. Just to chill him out. That's the highlight of my young life, my old man throwing a fork at my mom, or when he picked up an entire roast out of the oven and threw it on the driveway. I like that. That was great. Seriously, my parents were a mess. I don't mean to... What do you want me to say? You know, well, it was a pretty good life. They made some mistakes. No, their whole thing was just twisted, dude. The whole thing's twisted. Look, when you're shoplifting as a senior in high school, there's something wrong. It was definitely messed up. But at least nothing like this happened. You know, I'll say this for my folks. They were really sort of ill-suited for the job of parenting, and certainly they were not suited right for each other, but they kept the violence to a minimum. A thrown fork, and that was it. I got whacked, but I wouldn't call it abuse. No, they were just a couple of really messed up people. But the idea that a guy is going to take a knife and start hacking into his wife because she doesn't want him giving candy to the grandkids, they got medicine you can take for that. They do. Because that's nothing more. That isn't a bad man. That's just a guy with a complete and utter and complete and utter biochemical breakdown, man. He needs a... He needs something. I don't know what. But how do I know? I grew up around these kind of people. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. I'm reluctant to go into stories of my childhood because it can be quite traumatic. Not for me, but for you, the listener. I don't care. I got over it a long time ago. Let's see. Okay. How about the time? You know, here's the thing. If you grow up in a house with parents... Every family, they say, has problems. They say. So, you know, when I was growing up, I would hide a lot of the problems that my family had. And then when I became an adult, I would begin to relate these things to people. And I would always hear this phrase, well, every family has problems. Nobody's family is Leave It to Beaver. And I believed that for a good 15 extra years after I heard it, until at this point in my life, I don't believe that either. I believe there are some families that actually do get along pretty good. I'm not saying that it's a bowl of cherries every day, but there's normal relating and there is balanced relating and sometimes there's arguing, but there's resolution and there's jealousies and there's resolutions there and sometimes siblings stay friends their whole lives. My wife's and her siblings don't get along at all. I don't get along with my siblings. You know, I just don't. I mean, there's some families that you want to be a part of, and there's some that you don't. Unfortunately, the one that I grew up with, I would rather just thank you very much. I'll be seeing you around. But don't you think so? Like, Janice, you come from a normal family. Well, okay, never mind. Craig, how about you? All right. No, yeah, Craig gets along with his folks really good. And you go home, and you visit your folks, and your brother's a mess, but you love him. Is he okay? Your brother's all right, and Janice has got her sibs, and everything's just hunky-dory. Janice goes home for Christmas and for holidays, and they even have an annual, what is it, Janice, a cribbage tournament or something? I mean, you people, you're like normal people. And it's in Canada, too, which is where my people are from, and they're so messed up. But it's cool. I mean, I'm not angry about a thing. I'm telling you that there comes a time in your life when you got to come to this realization, this admission, if it's the realization and the admission that you want to come to. You're not particularly close to your parents, you don't particularly like them, and you really don't want to hang around with them. But there is such a thing as duty. And if they're getting old and they need help, you got to help them. And if they're, you know, indigent or whatever, you got to do something. You have to have a little bit of sense of duty. I guess that's the difference between... you know, being forever a child and being resentful about how they treated you and finally growing up and saying, well, you know, it really sucked, but I got to be a man about this. You know, they're like 80, 100 years old and they're sleeping up in a cardboard box. Maybe I ought to buy them a new box. Something. I was there when my old man croaked. It was down there in Orange County. I saw that heart monitor go down. And that was the end of that, and I didn't shed one tear, not because I didn't love him, but because I had already sort of resolved the relationship years before when I figured that guy out. So he finally croaked it off. We ditched him over there to the crematorium. They flipped it onto high. They gave me a bag with some stuff in it. It was his ashes. We dumped it, and we split. I just went out to the side of a road, poured it on the highway. No, I'm kidding. We went out into the ocean and did the whole thing. Turn it up to broil. And that was the end of that. Do you want to be cremated or do you want to be buried? I used to think I wanted to be cremated. Then I used to think I wanted to be buried. Now I want to be stuffed and mounted. I want to be a statue. I want to be a statue like in Trafalgar Square there in London. Just maybe me saluting wearing a Napoleon hat like in that Sopranos episode where Paulie Walnuts had Tony painted like he had Tony painted like Napoleon. Oh my God, I thought I was gonna choke. That was the funniest thing I ever saw in my life. I want to be a statue, man. All right, forget all the stuff I've been talking about, and just think about the good times you're gonna have this holiday season buying one of our Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirts. They're available on our website, and they're only $423. And they're available within 2 to 4 weeks of purchase. We'll ship. So when is Christmas? It's right around the corner. It's like a week and a half. But we'll get it out there in time for Christmas, won't we? Sure we will. Don't quote me. Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirts are available on our website, philhenryshow.com. And the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt is available. It is a black and silver t-shirt, and it's available for the price of only $16. And that'll be shipped between, I don't know, 2 to 4 weeks, something like that, along with our CD. So, you know, you can get all of that Christmas shopping done. Like, I was over at today, Toys R Us, and my daughter wanted a scooter, and by God, they had one left. And I went into the dude, and I said, I want one of those electric scooters. She wants us. My daughter actually uses those scooters. Like, she every day, she uses. She has two. So finally, she asked for an electric one. I said, you know what, that's cool. I'll get her an electric. She's 11. And I went in there. And all of a sudden, the memories came rushing back when I worked Christmas Rush at Fedco way back in the day. I'm wearing the green vest, and I've got, in those days, I had the big mutton chop sideburns. And I'm there, man, all through Christmas Rush, as people, parents would run up to you. Yes, it's Christmas Eve. They run up to you. Have you got the doll? Holy Christ. Are you all right, sir? Just hold on. Well, no. Have you got the doll with the, it talks and it bleeds? And it floats, it levitates. Where is it? Do you have, I don't know what you, come on! Well, what's it called? I don't know. It's a thing. It has a leg and a hair. They couldn't, you know, he's running in last minute. Who knows? The wife said, go down there, get the toy. Well, what is it? I don't know. It's the thing she saw on TV that she wants. And I gotta find it, right? And man, what a mess. A toy department gets destroyed by the adults, not the kids. The kids come in and they're really, they're respectful, but the adults take crap out, leave the boxes laying around. It looks like crap. But this guy comes running up to me screaming about some doll with a thing and a nose and a thing. You pull it out, and it's 18 feet. I don't know what the hell he was talking about, but I finally found it. It was way back in the loading dock. It gave me a chance to go back there and smoke a joint. You know, I'll go get it for you right now, sir. And I come back. Yeah, here it is. Is it good? Okay. Thank you. All right. Be cool. Be cool. Come on. Yeah, give me a second. Yeah, all right. Peace. So I'm in there today getting this scooter for Catherine, and one left. I said, you guys got electric scooters? No. Well, I guess I called. The girl said you had some left. Yeah, we got one. It's in the box. It looks like it got dropped off of the truck. It's, like, all messed up in the box. I better get it. Because if I don't, somebody else will buy it. So I bought it, and they're going to put it together because I'm too lazy and I don't know what I'm doing. I said, do you guys put these together? Yeah, how much? $10. Go, do it. Put it together for me. You do that? You put that crap together? Not me. You put together barbecues? Forget it. I spent all day putting a barbecue together once. Took me days, weeks, months. Then I turned it on and it blew up. And then we walked around getting games and whatever else we were getting and VCRs. And it's all of a sudden dawned on me, now that these kids are older, it's no longer robots and dolls and race cars and race boats. Now it's video games and computer games and trampolines and crap like that, right? Then another 5 years, it's going to be condoms and rolling papers and porn, but mostly porn. Actually, that's what I get this year. Forgot. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget our toll-free number, 877-616-7445 for our CD. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism.
I heard your comments.
Is this Dean?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dean.
I heard your comments last hour about members of that ashram who had hiked into Bunzel Canyon and were relieving themselves on the trail. I thought your description was pretty funny, but...
Thank you. I mean, I thought that was bizarre. My producer's up there walking her dog, and all of a sudden a bus pulls up with people in it, and they're relieving themselves.
Yeah, I think you need to understand the holistic approach to life. A lot of us enjoy, obviously, communing with a certain aspect of nature in the morning.
What do you mean the holistic approach to life? What is that supposed to mean?
Well, I'm talking about people who have given up on traditional medicine and now use holistic or chiropractic medicine. I'm talking about people who believe in yoga as opposed to traditional forms of exercise like weightlifting. I'm talking about people who use herbs and teas instead of traditional medicines. And certainly I'm talking about people who are non-smoking and non-drinking and who are approaching life in as pure a manner as they can so they can keep the poisons out of their system and can keep the poisons out of their bloodstreams.
So that's what you mean.
So that's what I mean about holistic. But I wanted to alert you to the fact that where we live, we're up in Mill Valley, California. We've got a 6-acre property. We have eucalyptus trees. We've got a garden, a swim, and a whirlpool. We do Pilates.
Well, what are you? Are you a spa or something?
We're a spa. We are a health retreat. We are the Bhaktivedanta Health Retreat and Suradanta Retreat as well, which is down the road.
The Bhaktivedanta Health Retreat.
Yes, and the Suradanta Health Retreat, which is also affiliated with us.
Okay.
And you were making fun.
I didn't mean to make fun of everybody that's, you know, chilling out with the yoga thing, but I just wanted to say that it was a little rude to be squatting and relieving yourself, and these were females.
Well, Phil, it's important when you keep the energy in your body flowing, you have to evacuate yourself when you first feel the urge, no matter where you are. And it's unfortunate because it's uncomfortable for other people.
What do you mean, no matter where you are?
In order for us to keep the what we call the organic energy flowing, when you first feel the urge to evacuate, you must, at that moment, as soon as you can, relieve yourself. And I, unfortunately, we've had some pretty hysterical occurrences on buses and movie theaters.
What are you talking about? Are you telling me that you guys that follow the yoga thing are relieving yourselves in theaters and on buses?
When it's important to understand that the longer that poison stays in your system, the quicker it is going to travel to your nervous system, to your cardiovascular system. Everyone who practices yoga, whether it is hatha yoga or Krishna or kriya yoga, or whether it is tantra yoga, everyone who practices yoga understands that the most important thing to do is to keep this poison and out of your system. And it has, once you get past the shock value, it can be really funny. I literally had to have a bowel movement in the Whole Foods produce section one time.
Oh, my God.
Well, but
good Lord, you got to be arrested for that.
No, well, no, because they understand.
No, they don't understand. I wouldn't understand. You can't possibly be serious.
Well, Phil, I am serious. What was good about it is someone mistook it for bean dip, and so...
Oh, come on, will ya?
No, I just please...
Yeah, you bet. Mistook it for bean dip. Yeah, that's going to happen. Some cat with a nacho chip? Oh, my sweet Lord. God. Cat does this whole build-up about, well, yeah, we have 6,500 square acres and the poisons that build up. Next thing you know, the dude's laying one down in the Whole Foods produce section and somebody thought it was a bean dip. And he went and got himself some blue corn chips, I'm sure, with no salt. Oh, God. Is he back? Sir, are you serious?
May I finish?
Are you serious?
May I finish my thought?
What?
You know, you're making a joke about this, but the fact is the food that I eat and that other members of the Bhaktivedanta retreat eat is so pure, it is so grain and vegetable-oriented. There is no poison, there is no toxins from meat protein products, that it could you could conceivably use it as bean dip. That's how...
Uh-huh.
You don't believe me?
No, I don't believe you.
All right. Can I prove it to you?
No, you may not.
Mr. Hendry, I'd be happy to send you a bag, and I'd be...
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. That was some nut calling from Northern California having to do with... what do you want now?
It's really good with sour cream.
Okay, I'm going to take a break here, man. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block.
What is this? What?
Yeah, you're going to have butt in.
Oh, come on, David.
I said you're having him in.
I fired that guy 3 weeks ago.
Look, you're on the air right now.
Oh, welcome back, Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Hi.
Yeah, hi.
I'm Bud Dickman.
You want to get on the microphone?
Get him on the mic.
Here, bud.
I'm Bud Dickman. It's time for things at Christmas that sound dirty.
Oh, my God.
Come on, Phil. It's funny.
May I ask this question?
Oh, so you want to embarrass me and Bud while you're on the air, huh?
I want to get into bed. What's he want?
Hey, Bud.
What's he want?
Hey, Bud.
Yeah?
I'm not he. I'm Mr. Hendry. You understand that?
Whoa, get you.
What's the matter? You think you're too good for your stink doesn't? Your britches don't stink?
Yeah, that's it, Bud. My britches don't stink. What I'm saying to you is this. I ain't he. I'm Mr. Hendry.
Get
Give him some respect, bud.
All right.
Introduce him, Phil.
When I fire a guy, he stays fired.
Well, maybe not.
And now here's Bud Dickman.
With the top 10 Christmas...
With the top 10 Christmas phrases that sound dirty but aren't.
All right, buddy, I'm Bud Dickman. Here's a number 10 of the Christmas phrases that sound dirty but is not. Did you get any under the tree? Number 9, I think your balls are hanging too low. Number 8...
Very funny.
That's great.
Number 8, check out Rudolph's honker. Number 7, Santa's sack is really bulging. What's the matter?
Go ahead.
Don't you think it's funny, Phil?
No, I don't, if you're asking me.
Go ahead, bud.
Number 6, lift up the skirt so I can get a clean breath.
I don't even get that.
It's funny.
It's a riot.
Number 5, did you get a piece of the fruitcake? Mr. Hall, he's making fun of me.
Come on, Phil.
All right.
All right, number 4. I love licking the end till it's really sharp and pointy.
Yeah!
Number 3. From here, you can't tell if they're artificial or real.
Love it! What about it, Phil?
Yeah, it's a riot.
Number 2. Can I interest you in some dark meat? And now, the number 1 phrase, what am dirty but not. To get it to stand up straight, try propping it against the wall. I'm Bud Dickman, that's the 10 things that are dirty at Christmas, but it's not.
Okay, what's wrong with having him in doing that?
Let me tell you what's wrong with him coming and doing that.
What?
What do you want, bud?
I
want
to hear if you're talking about me.
That's material is pulled off the internet. Do you understand that this stuff ain't even original? It's internet material.
So what? It's funny. I like it. And I want you to have them in once a week with stuff that ain't dirty but is.
It's stuff that isn't dirty but... It's stuff...
Stuff that is not dirty but isn't.
That's it. Stuff that isn't dirty but isn't. Hello?
Stuff that isn't dirty but isn't.
Yeah.
What's the next holiday? I don't know.
Martin Luther King, is that it? Stuff that's dirty that isn't?
Oh, that'll be great. Why don't I just gag around with that? The next one is, New Year's.
All right, good, bud. Work on New Year's.
Okay, Mr. Hall.
All right, Phil, thanks.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. That internet stuff, I'm telling you, he comes in here every day with his internet jokes. And you gotta see what Bud does. He loads my inbox full of jokes. Dear Mr. Henry, here am some material that you can use on your show if you'll hire me back. And it's all these jokes about a man walks into a barber shop with a dog and, you know, the barber pole, something about a barber pole or lipstick or the dog has an erection. I don't know what. And it's like every day. Did you get any under the tree? Can I interest you in some dark meat? That one's probably number 1. That was the one that I actually smiled at. I actually smiled at that one. And check, you know, Santa's sack is really bulging. All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. We're sitting here today talking about, you know, I was just a few minutes ago talking about buying my kids Christmas presents. And the fact that, you know, it's like changing from when they're little kids, then they, you know, get older, and then all of a sudden it's a whole different vibe. And the other thing is that they begin to feel more emboldened about asking for more expensive things. When they're a little tiny kid, they'll ask for something like the biggest thing that we ever bought them was some kind of a boxing dummy that they could punch. And it had lights that lit up, and they have these punching the boxing gloves, and they punch this thing. And I don't know, like a robot. I mean, the last toy that our oldest guy got was some robot that would pick things up. Now everybody is older, and they're asking for computers. They're asking for DDR game. Remember the whole thing with DDR last year, man? I mean, we had to go to Japan to buy that thing. And now it's, you know, since he got that, why can't I have mine? Well, if he got a car, how come I can't have a computer? Well, he got a car because he had good grades and because we need him to have the car. Well, why can't I get a computer? Wait a minute, man. I ain't buying you a $3,300 computer when the one that I got is like $1,500 bucks. I got the crappiest computer on earth. And I'm going to buy you one for $3,300? I can work it off. Oh, sure you can. Sure. Doing what, man? Watering plants around here? Look, if you want me to make you work, I'll make you work. But you know what? It ain't going to happen. Because there's going to be, it ain't going to happen. You know, the $3,300 computer ain't going to happen. But if they, you know, they want me to buy this stuff for them. We're not going to buy them $3,300 computers. I'm trying to get these guys to live in the world. I'm trying to get them to live in the real world. That the fantasy land of computers and having your own car, good God. I remember the day I was on the air here and I asked guys to call in who were under the age of, say, 25, who knew how to drive a stick. And we had the lines jammed. Because living where I live, my sons are now convincing me that no kid drives a stick shift. Right? Because every kid they go to school with's got an automatic. I said, wait, I must be getting old or something, man. The first car I learned on it was a four-speed. I learned how to work a clutch. I mean, are you telling me the kid? No way, not anymore. No, everybody's got an automatic. I don't need to learn how to drive a stick yet. So I just, for kicks, I said, any of you guys out there drive a stick? Every guy I talked to learned how to had a five-speed Camaro or a four-speed truck or a five-something. I learned on a three-on-the-freaking-tree truck. Remember those? The tree stick shifts? I'm cut off. I'm telling you, I'm cut off. I don't know what's going on. These guys got me talked and everything. Nobody knows how to drive a stick shift. Everybody drives an automatic, so I got to have an automatic. Because I was going to let them have my truck. I had a little old beat-up Ford Ranger truck. I said, here, it's yours, dude. It's yours, man. It's wheels. It's a truck. I mean, it's, you know, you can throw crap in the back if you want. You can sleep in the back if you want. Go find some old shell, put it on. You can sleep at the beach in it. No, man. He don't want that. It's a five-speed. It's cool. So, all right. Enough of that. I don't want to talk about my kids. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Our website, philhendryshow.com. Tomorrow is our webcast. And what we're going to do in our webcast is broadcast the show live on video, streaming video, as well as, of course, on audio. And the only way you can watch this is by signing up now for a backstage pass. You will have the webcast. If you've never seen me, I don't know if you're curious about what I look like, if you're curious about what Craig and Chris and Janice look like, if you're curious as to how we execute this radio show, doing different voices and the way that I, you know, do my show, and just now somebody's saying, what voices? And so I'll have to explain to you that the voices on the telephones oftentimes are me. You can watch us do the show tomorrow, but you must have a backstage pass. And to get that, you go to our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. You sign up for our for a backstage pass, and that'll give you a webcast tomorrow. It starts at 1 o'clock Pacific. It'll include 3 hours of the prep time in the office, and then 3 hours of us doing the show. So you can watch us how we, you know, do it. For some reason, people seem to think it's really interesting, so hey, there you go. Although I'm going to back off this year on the live broadcast stuff. You know, we did a lot of it last year. You know, and I think we're not going to do as many of those because it's quite a special thing that we do on the air here. And I, you know, don't want to wear out the old welcome, you know. I don't want people to say, oh, that's okay, great. We have, you know, a lot of people have been trying to get in here to watch this show, and we're telling them, forget it. You can't. The President of the United States, Saddam Hussein, you know, Trent Lott, he says, I don't care if I'm majority leader. Let me just go see the Hendry Show. Sean Penn, Madonna, Spike Lee, Spike Jones, the other Spike Jones, all them cats. So check it out on the web tomorrow on our website, philhendryshow.com. Get the backstage pass. It's good for all of our audio archives as well as a 30-day archive of all of our past 30 shows.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.